When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'll be your host today, Zach Clinton. Now, to all you football fans out there who can't wait for Super Bowl weekend, which is right around the corner, you're in for a treat today, as joining us is a man who not only understands the ins and outs of what it takes to get to and to play in the NFL, but also a man who now gets to shepherd and steward the spiritual growth and development of many NFL players as well. His name is Johnny Shelton. Johnny's a husband, father, minister, sports chaplain, and life coach with an extraordinary desire to encourage and challenge the hearts of God's people. He served in various ministry roles throughout his career, including the team chaplain at Elon University, the chaplain of the Virginia Tech football team, and now serving as the team chaplain and life coach of the Baltimore Ravens since 2013. This is a man who understands the process of spiritual growth and development and the significance of fellowship and discipleship in our journey throughout this life. We're blessed to have him here with us today. Johnny, my friend, thank you so much for joining us.
Brother Zach, man, thanks for having me.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation, but let me say up front for our audience, they know this, I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, Johnny, but for you, I'll go ahead and open the conversation and say I'm an AFC North fan. So, hey, watching you guys, the Ravens, you did my Steelers dirty a couple of times this season, but you guys had an incredible run. You had a great year. I just want to ask up front, what are some highlights from this past season from you and your role serving as the chaplain and life coach of the team?
Well, Brother Zach, first of all, I'm just saying, you know, to know that you to hear that you are a Steelers fan. I'm sorry for that. But but I do understand that it's a great organization, great people there. And I have a lot of friends over there. So it's a blessing, man, to be able to serve with those guys. I know the team chaplain very well there, Brother Kent. And it's a blessing to be able to just go to battle with those guys two times a season, and this year actually three times. So it's really fun. But I'm gonna tell you, man, it's so awesome to be able to be used. You know, God's really moving on the hearts of men and women, and God is definitely getting the glory.
Johnny, something that you mentioned in the work that you get to do, I followed you on social media for quite some time, And I picked up quickly on the theme for this year, right? To be the salt and light. You really are referencing Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And that's our duty. That's our opportunity. That's our responsibility as followers of Christ, to be the salt and the light, to live in the world, but not of the world. Speak to our audience today. Just what's at the core of that message? And what were you really trying to infuse into the entire Baltimore Ravens organization throughout this entire year?
Yeah, thanks. That's a great question, man. And I appreciate that question. If you read that scripture, you know, one thing that Jesus is telling them is that we are light of the world. So he's basically telling us our value in terms of what we bring to the kingdom of God. And one thing that I wanted to bring home this season, as we taught it all year long, was it actually comes down to our lifestyle. And throughout the whole season, from training camp all the way to this last game, chapel by chapel, through Bible studies every week, we were able to hit on a topic and challenge each other on our lifestyle. What, as a believer, as a person who God has sent into a decaying, dying world, do our lifestyle line up with who Jesus say that we actually are? And so there was an acronym that I used all season long for lifestyle, you know, and so the L, real quickly, the L is leading a life that's worthy of the calling. The I was the identity. What is your identity in Christ? The F was having a fruitful foundation based on the fruits of the Spirit. Do all those fruits in your life, those nine fruits, are they projected? Are they a reflection up to those people that God has entrusted to you? The E is endurance. You know, trials and tribulations are going to come. How do we endure those things? Are we allowing God to work through us? And so that's the life. And then the style, we went right on into stewardship. Are you a good steward? Is what God is actually giving you. And then T, temptations. You know, we talked about temptations. And then the Y is yielding to those temptations. And then the L, legacy. What type of legacy are you leaving behind? And then the last E was being an everyday example. And so we went through those all season long, whether it was in Bible study, whether it was in one-on-one discipleship, whether it was in whatever it was, that is the main message that we were trying to get across, that it's about our life. It's the life that we lead.
I love that, because that's a convicting message that you're going through throughout the entirety of the season, right? What is the lifestyle that you are ultimately living by? Because we can believe behavior. It's one thing to know about God. It's an entirely other thing to know him personally and to live a life that is honoring and glorifying of him. You brought up a word that I want to touch on, though, because in athletics, it's a big thing. I get the opportunity of serving kind of that sports psychology, sports counseling space where I'm working with athletes like yourself. And identity is huge, Johnny, because it's so hard. It's easy to say, it's so hard to do, to be able to separate your worth, your value, your identity from your performance, right? I know a lot of athletes who ride the high highs when it's a great game, and then the low lows when it's a bad one, but then they're only as good as their last game. How do you help athletes? I'm thinking specifically here, me and you talking, a guy like Mark Andrews, right, who maybe didn't have his best game and maybe hanging his head and maybe sulking a little bit. How do you speak into the life of somebody like that, who is an unbelievable athlete, an unbelievable man, an unbelievable servant, but at the same time is struggling to differentiate who they are from what they do? How do you do that?
So it comes down to two things. One of it is relational, but then the other thing is repetition. And so if you think about it in life, and especially in sports as athletes, one thing that we thrive on as athletes is repetition. You're always constantly getting reps to do things. But isn't that like it in life? Like, how many reps in prayer are we doing? How many reps of Proverbs, of the Gospels, are we reading? And so it comes down to repetition and consistency. It's really I tell people all the time, brother Zach, is that we kind of make this harder than it really is because of the flesh, the fleshly desires, and because of all of those things that come forth. But we make it kind of hard, but it actually is simple. Of course, it's not easy, but it's simple. And so it comes down to the reps, the repetitiveness, the consistency. So when it comes to our identity and athletes, we have a double whammy. We're athletes and then we're men. So that brings on, makes things a little bit tougher because of the pride factor and how we want to take control of things. But it ultimately comes down to that, man. You know, Mark is going to be okay, you know, able to speak into his life to make him understand that he gives us adversity for food. This is scripture. Like he tells us, right? A cup of affliction, water for affliction. And those things is part of us. And so just competitiveness and using the relationship that I have with them to just be able to wrap my arms around them, man, and say, hey, this is coming straight from heaven, man. You know, and hug them or whatever it is, the word that God gives me to give to them.
That's the blessing of suffering, right? I ultimately believe that, you know, the price is easy when the promise is clear. I think of James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith goes on to produce perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, lacking nothing. It's this idea that we don't consider it joy because of the suffering, but we can consider it joy in spite of the suffering because of what it might produce in and through us if we allow God to let it. That's the opportunity that you get to do, doing life with these athletes, with these men. And I want to speak to that for a moment because some of the audience out there might be thinking, man, that's a dream gig, right? I want to be Johnny Shelton. I want to be able to walk alongside of some of my heroes, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and Mark Andrews. But you get to do so much more than just really speaking and leading a chapel once a week. You are doing life with these guys, with their wives, with their kids. Speak to all that goes into your role as a life coach as well.
Man, listen, you first of all, you have to be careful what you ask for. And I think, you know, we look at the glitz and the glamour of the National Football League, of professional sports in general, and we look at that. That's the things that they show. They call them highlights for a reason, you know, because the light is shining on all of the good things. But I had a player that come into my office when I first started this, and at not in ministry, but this was when I was with the Ravens. It was my second year, and he came into my office, man, with tears in his eyes, and he said, "I did not dream about this part," and the burdens, the downside of the things that are going on in the young man's life, the burdens that God has placed on my heart in terms of the things that I'm seeing, the things that I'm hearing, you have to be careful. It's not all glitz and glamour. It's not about being around Lamar Jackson, because when I'm around them, the thing about being in sports chaplaincy and ministry is that we cannot, and I reiterate this, cannot be a fan. It's not possible to be a fan in a effective sports chaplain. Those two things don't go together. You know, it's not about the gear that you get. It's not about none of those things. It's about a soul. It's about a heart that's literally life and death. And that's the approach that I take, so many other sports chaplains take, people like yourself that's working with these athletes that understand that, you know, this is what they are gifted to do. It's not who they are.
You know, Johnny, as we're talking about the ministering work that you get the opportunity of doing in the NFL, you're someone who can relate to some of the challenges that some of these athletes are going through, especially when it comes to identity and trying to live out that godly lifestyle in the midst of a worldly culture and even sporting world. And so for you, I know that you were a primetime athlete. You were a premier guy, right? You were playing football, running track, Southeast Missouri State University, had the opportunity of going on and playing some in the NFL as well. Speak to just the challenges challenges that maybe you experienced, because I've read a little bit about your testimony, and it was in the lowest points of really your collegiate career where you came to know God in a more personal and intimate way. So go back in time and just share a little bit more of your testimony with us, if you would.
Yeah, man, it was my third year in college, man, and life was good, man. I mean, I was playing good ball at the beginning of the season. All of a sudden, a physical challenge came to where I literally started physically feeling bad. And to make a long story short, man, what happened was, is that I was suffering from a bleeding ulcer, and I had lost over 4 pints of blood. I was literally, the doctor told me this. He said, man, what is a 21-year-old young man? What's going on in your life, man, that's stressing you out in such magnitude? And I was a typical 21-year-old. I said, I'm good. Like, I'm okay. Nothing. There's nothing going on, which it was. It was several things that was going on with me from a football standpoint, a personal standpoint, with my family back home. Just so many things that was going on that I was, you know, just depressing. You know, pressing it down and trying to just get through another and become the best football player that I can become. But he told me this. He said, you were a dead man walking. If you wasn't in such good physical shape, you would be dead. And I thought about that for a minute. But God went a step further. This doctor, he explained to me, he said, I'm not supposed to be telling you this because I can get in trouble. And he said that, but I am a Christian. He said, and I know that there's some things going on in your life, and I just want to let you know that I'm going to be praying for you. Now, for a young man who grew up in the church, that stuck with me. And so when they released me from the hospital, when I went back to my apartment, I immediately fell to my knees, told God, I said, God, if you're who my mama say you are, save me. I believe that you died on the cross, and I went through the whole thing, man. But that was the turning point in my life in terms of where he went from just being the savior, but he became Lord.
It's remarkable, you know, and I've even read in your testimony that, like you said, it wasn't just the God of your mom, the God of your parents, but ultimately he became your personal Lord of your life. I've heard an old quote that says, God has no grandchildren, right? We all have to make him our personal Lord and Savior in our lives as well. And so, Johnny, you go on, you have a stint in the NFL, you're playing for multiple different teams. What was that experience like, by the way? I mean, playing in the NFL yourself, that's a dream come true.
Brother, just like the young man that came into my office, I could relate to him when he said, I did not dream that part. Let me tell you something. It was stressful. It was not fun because there's so many dynamics, man, that come with playing in the league. Because everybody's good. I wouldn't change it for the world. I would not change none of it for the world because it was so many lessons and it was so many people that I met along the way. I met men who were following Christ, men who were serious about following Christ. I've seen them. They were salt and light in the locker room. And they were guys, man, who were, stars. I wouldn't change it for the world because those seeds were planted, man. You know, guys coming up to me said, not asking me, do I want to come to Bible study? They're saying, Bible study, 7:00. I'll see you there. You know, it was the accountability, things like that, that I learned over the years that, you know, that you're not a passive man, right? Those type of things. So I see what God was doing.
I remember having a conversation with a mentor of mine a long time ago. And he was talking, we live in the Liberty University around that area, right in Lynchburg, Virginia. So a lot of college, you know, kids are running through here that want to do ministry, right? One of the largest private Christian universities in America, probably Liberty and GCU. And I remember my mentor said that all of these students year after year after year will come up to him and they'll ask him for advice. And they'll say, hey, sir, you know, I want to go and do ministry. I want to go and be a missionary one day. I want to go and be a chaplain of an NFL team or an MLB or an NBA team. And he looks at them, Johnny, and he always asks them the same question. Do you even know your neighbor's name? And it just stuns people, because what he's trying to get to is, you know, we can all wait for these opportunities to come, or we could steward the opportunities that God has already provided us to do ministry. Ministry is not about a position. It's not about a title. It's not about a pulpit. But we all, whatever occupation, whatever vocation, we get the opportunity to share the good news of the gospel and to be a light and to be the salt of this earth. Johnny, what's one final word of hope, encouragement, and motivation for our audience members out there today to remind them that no matter where God has called them to, their job is to, again, go and be the salt and the light?
Man, that's good stuff, man. I mean, one thing that just pops into my mind is the journey that God has everyone on. But there's a scripture in Matthew, I think it's chapter 25, the parable of the talents, I think, where God tells us, if we're faithful over a little, he'll make us masters over much. If we're just faithful, but and earlier and even before that, he goes on to say he gave it to them according to their abilities. And so one thing that I do know is that God don't make mistakes. And in the meantime, God has us on this journey. If we are fervently chasing him and pursuing him, and wanting to know God's heart, and wanting to know as he orders our steps, if we do that and we just become who he's called us to be at the moment, he's going to blow our minds with what he has for us. I had no intentions of being in sports chaplaincy, no intentions. Man, I just planned on living a good life. This was before he become Lord of my life. I wanted to just live a good life, be a good husband, good father, good man, good friend. But man, I got to be a good godly husband, a good godly father. You know, and I've learned that, and just being faithful with what he's given me. And lo and behold, he takes me on this journey, what he has for me. And he placed the people in my life, who's in my life, that's helping me grow each and every day. And he allowed me to meet great people like yourself. It's just amazing, man. And I'm so thankful for it.
Man, I hope and pray that you have an incredible off season. You get a lot of rest and relaxation, my friend. Hey, one last question. Where can our audience go to find out more about you, Johnny?
Man, they can go to, I have a website. Personal website is johnnyshelton.com. Social media on IG, not as much as I should be, but I'm on there. There in Twitter as Ravens Chaplain, but that's just some things you can follow me there. But the website gives you more information, johnnyshelton.com.
Again, that's johnnyshelton.com. Johnny, my friend, on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, and all of us here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family, thank you so much for the work that you do, for saying yes and being obedient to the call that God has placed on your life, and for taking the time out of your day to join us here for this episode. We appreciate you, my friend.
Man, Brother Zach, it's been an honor. Man, thank you. And I'm looking forward for our paths to cross many more times in the near future.
Yes, indeed. Johnny, thank you for joining us. I know we're fighting the time, but if you want to hear more of Johnny's impactful testimony, you can go ahead and head over to my podcast, the Built Different Podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast platforms. My friends, thank you so much for joining us today. We love being a part of your life. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.